You're listening to The Conk, Gainesville's true storytelling project, a production of Grow Radio, Gainesville's community internet station at www.growradio.org. The Conk occurs on the first Tuesday of the month at Light and Salvage, located at 1800 Northeast 23rd Avenue, and we thank Satchel's Pizza and Light and Salvage for sponsoring and hosting the Conk events. People are asked to tell a five-minute true story based on the month's theme. The theme for this event was the great outdoors, and we partnered with Alachua Conservation Trust and Alachua Audubon, and it was recorded on April the 7th, 2015. Included in this podcast are stories about childhood memories from Lost Man's Key, making do in Dixie County while camping on Sheard Island, and the high stakes of camping with a new girlfriend. You can find out about upcoming Conk events on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/theconkgnv. You can also check out older Conk podcasts at www.growradio.org. And now, here are the stories.
Hello! Hello! Welcome again. I'm Natalie. I'll be your host for the evening for the Conk. The Conk is a production of Grow Radio. It's a live storytelling event held here on the first Tuesday of every month. So, surprise, you're here for the Conk. We have a theme each month, and this month's theme is the great outdoors. So, if you didn't come with a story, start thinking of one now. And with that, is there anybody who'd like to kick it off? Okay, Satchel has an announcement.
Hi. I've invited a storyteller from Detroit. He grew up in Detroit. He moved to Chicago, and he just moved back to Detroit. His name's Shannon Kaysen, and he's been on The Moth, and he's been on Snap Judgment, and he has his own podcast called Homemade Stories. And he's a really great storyteller, and I've invited he and his family down for the June edition. So it's June the 2nd, and the theme is summer vacation. But he's a really great storyteller that you should look up, shannonkaysen.com, and listen to some of his stories. And he's coming in June, so mark your calendars 2 months early. Thanks.
Sure. I'm Erica. This is my first Conk event, so I don't really know. I don't really know what the shape of this is supposed to go, so I'm just going to talk a little bit and hopefully not embarrass myself. So I'm an ecologist, and I think that I have become an ecologist because of the way that I grew up and my love for just being outside. And I grew up in Florida, and I grew up in South Florida. And to me, the beauty of Florida is very subtle. We have our beautiful sunsets and our ocean and our water, and I certainly appreciate a good sunset. But I think what's really interesting about Florida is how small the details are sometimes, where you could be in the Everglades or in Kissimmee Prairie, and those ecosystems are really making sense on centimeters. The differences between a forest and a grassland there is just a matter of, you know, this much elevation and changes in water. And it's those small details that I like to think about when I think about wilderness and what makes me happy about wilderness. And I like to think about what crows are saying and get to know a particular crow and the way that they speak. And I like to look at that one tiny little plant that maybe gets stepped on every single day but keeps coming back. And just the details. I think the details are really beautiful. And so the story that I want to talk about is a place where we used to camp when I was a child. It's called Lost Man's Key, and it's in the 10,000 Islands. And we used to go out in a boat with my parents and my sister who's sitting over there. And it's the kind of place where you're going and going, and most humans would probably be really lost. And I certainly never actually knew where we were going, but somehow my father always did. And, you know, we'd see, well, there's the eagle nest, so we turn right there, and you whip around this way, and these are just mangrove creeks that all look the same. And after a good amount of time, we get to this little spit of land, and it was an old oyster bed. And so you have this nice crescent shape with a really mature mangrove forest growing on it, and then a little patch of sand where we'd put our tent. And we'd fish the whole time that we were there, and we have all these pictures of the front of the boat covered in sea trout that we would eat while we were there. And this is the place where I first learned about sex, and it was by watching horseshoe crabs. We would find these horseshoe crabs all over the beach, and they were caught in the sand and caught in the tide, and the sand was building up on top of them, and my sister were like, oh God, we've got to save the horseshoe crabs. And we'd start digging and digging and digging. And then we'd realize, well, there's another horseshoe crab underneath it. And then there's another one underneath it. And then it was like an incomprehensible amount of horseshoe crabs buried in the sand and the edge of the tide and the water. And it was like, there's something happening here. And my 10-year-old brain is thinking it's something I don't quite understand. But I think maybe I'm learning something here. And so one night we're sleeping in the tent, and it's very quiet out there, and it's the middle of the night, and something woke us all up in our little four-man tent. And you're disoriented at first because you're not used to hearing sound. We're so far away from any kind of human-made noise. There aren't even boats that come out there. I mean, we always used to joke that if something happened, no one would ever find us. And there was this noise, and it was a whooshing noise and a whoosh. And then as you woke up and you're laying in the tent, your brain was and your ears and everything's opening and you're listening, and then you realize that there was more sound, and there was splashing and there was movement, and it sounded like a jubilee. And we opened the tent door, and it was a full moon, and we walk out onto this spit of land. And there were white pelicans, and there was a whole group of white pelicans, a whole flock, and they were taking their wings, and they were pushing up against the shore, and there was a school of fish and a pod of dolphins. And it was a feeding frenzy, just in the middle of the night in the full moon, and we all just stood there with our mouths gaping open and just watched it until they were done. So that's my story.
Thanks, Erica. I think I got goosebumps in the last part.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Bill. Do you want to hear a story about Sheared Island or Nautahala?
Sheared Island.
No one asked you. I'm just kidding. Sheared Island or Nautahala? Sheared Island. Okay. So a few years ago, my friend from high school, Will, lives in California now, and he's a senior. I was a freshman. And as soon as he graduated high school, he's like, that's it. I'm leaving Gainesville. I'm going to California. I'm going to live off the chart. I'm going to grow weed, and I'm going to live in a tent, and I'm really good at camping. I was like, okay. So he comes back to Gainesville once a year, and 2 years ago he came back, and he goes, let's go to Sheared Island. I'm really familiar with Sheared Island. Don't bring anything. I'm a master camper. I lived on my own camping. Off the chart. No electricity, no water, no nothing. Like, don't just come. I'm going to pick you up. We're going to go to Sheared Island. I've never been to Sheared Island, but it sounded great. And so he picks me up. And we take my car to Sheared Island. We're halfway there, and he's so high off weed. Like, he's like beyond Cheech and Chong high. And he's like, oh, shit, I forgot the sleeping bags. So we're like, okay. So we go back, and we go to the house, and we get the sleeping bags. And we get to Sheared Island, and if you've never been to Sheared Island, you don't have cell phone service for like 45 minutes outside of whatever terrible town you're in before you're in Sheared Island. Like, it's just, it's good if you're with someone who knows what they're doing, but I wasn't. So we get to Sheared Island, and it's beautiful, but he didn't bring lighter or matches or knife or a flashlight or anything at all. So we explore the whole shore, which isn't that big, but we walked around. It's really pretty, and the sun starts to set. And the whole time I'm saying, so shouldn't we go back to the campsite and start making fire? Or shouldn't we start making dinner? It's getting dark. Like, let's start doing stuff before it gets too dark. No, no, it's cool. It's cool. I know what I'm doing. Just enjoy the sunset. Da, da, da. So I wasn't smoking weed at all, by the way. And I really wasn't. And we finally get back to the campsite, and it's February. It's raining. It's dark. It's cold. And he goes, I don't have a lighter. So there are these two really old, cute Dixie County guys feeding birds, thank God. They're the only ones that were there. And I go up to them, and I say, hi, how are you doing? I don't have a lighter. Do you mind if we use you have a lighter? You know, you're smoking cigarettes. And they're like, what are you going to use it for? For fire? And they're like, oh, where are you from? They start giving me, like, the third degree about, like, who I am, where I'm from. Am I going to use drugs? Am I a Christian? Like, the whole thing. And so they finally are like, okay, you are worthy of fire. And they give me a lighter. And I say thank you, and I take it from them. We get fire. We have a really good menu for the night. He had organic steak and kale and garlic and all this food, but he had, like, no knives or salt, so it was terrible. And the grill didn't work. It was out of flame or fire, whatever, kerosene. And so we had a terrible time, and we went to sleep really early. And in the middle of the night, in my sleeping bag in February while it was raining, trying to sleep, this, like, 4x4 truck comes up with Gretchen Wilson blasting, and they're like, woo-hoo! I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna die, because we're the only ones there on the whole shore. Sheard Island is, like, very small, and there's no cell phone service, and I'm Jewish, so I'm really scared. All I hear is, like, yeah, let's drink all these beers, and fuck yeah, like, all this is going on. And I'm just thinking, like, Will, I really hope they don't see our tent and come up and be like, give us all your money, because there's nothing out here to stop them from killing us. And thank God they just partied forever and went home. So I finally went to sleep in the rain and the cold. And 7 o'clock in the morning, there's someone clawing at the tent. I'm like, oh my God, it's a bear. So I ignore it, and then it keeps clawing. And Will is totally asleep because he's, like, Cheech and Chonged out. And I go up to the tent zipper, and I unzip it. And it's this really old man. And he goes, bill collector. And I'm like, what? He's like, it's $5 to stay here. And we're like, I don't have any money. So I have to, like, wake up Cheech. And he gives me money, and I give it to the old man. The old man's like, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, my name is Ashley Smith, because it's definitely not Leah Goldberg today, not Sheard Island. And he says, thank you, and he takes the money and says, God bless and stuff. And then we get the hell out of there, and I never talk to Will again.
Oh,
Thanks, Leah.
Hi, I'm Satchel, the artist and pizza guy and co-founder of Lightning Salvage. Thanks for listening to the Grow Radio podcast of the Conk. This podcast is brought to you in part by Lightning Salvage. Lightning Salvage is actually the parent company for Satchel's Pizza. Satchel's opened in 2003, but Lightning Salvage was founded in 1989. Lots of people don't know that, but you know that. The spark is born at Lightning Salvage.
I know it's hard to hear out here, so I'm going to blow your eardrums out. So I didn't really plan on coming to talk about ACT, but I just want to say that the property behind Scott's house we did buy last September. and so I should mention, well, first of all, I just want to thank Bill Bryson for, he does so much to help our organization, and he does so much for Gainesville. Yay, Bill. I mean, Grow Radio and the Conk, things like that are what really make Gainesville so unique. But anyway, I do actually have a story. I don't want to, I could talk about ACT all night. Most of you, I think, know who our organization is. We buy and protect land locally. But I'm going to tell a quick story about Vermont. I'm a Floridian. I'm a local. And I could tell a lot of good outdoor stories about North Florida. But about 9 years ago, I had a new girlfriend and one of my favorite places other than North Florida to go visit for a trip was a family friend's cabin up on a remote lake in northern Vermont. It's near the Canadian border. It's just really wild, and it's truly one of my favorite places. And so we planned this trip for like late September so we could see the leaves fall. And this is one of those few projects where I was like, okay, I started in the summer. I had all these lists, bought the tickets early, was really excited about this perfect long weekend in Vermont on a cabin on a lake with loons. And it all was really going to plan. You know, and I hadn't planned on telling the story. I should just back up and say it. But there were so many stories tonight about spending the night when you hadn't planned somewhere, about boats in the dark and fire or lack of fire and bad plans by boyfriends. I just was like, okay, this fits perfectly into all that. So we fly out of Gainesville, we get to Boston, we do our shopping, we hit the road, and head up to northern Vermont, and we have to like basically get in at this cabin, get in a boat, paddle up this beautiful lake, and it's like sunset. Everything is going perfectly. It's really nice. And we get to the dock at the cabin and walk up and unpack all of our stuff. And I go into the cabin, and a couple minutes into it, I realize that like we're covered in fleas. So our friends had spent the summer there, and they had their dogs in the cabin all summer. And I guess what happens is the fleas feed on the dogs, and then there's no dogs or people or anything in this empty building for 2 months. And then all the fleas hatch, and they're just waiting for you. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I get down on the floor and look closely with a flashlight, and there are like thousands of fleas all jumping. And they're jumping towards you. It's crazy. And I'm thinking, what do you do? And meanwhile, the sun, remember, it's just the perfect evening. Sun is setting. We're on this lake. And in northern Vermont, you know, there's, they call them ponds up there, but this thing's like 5 miles long. So, and it has many like parts to it and islands. It's complex. And so we're kind of isolated. You know, only way you get here is by boat, but it's full of fleas. So what do you, and in late September, it's cold. It's, you know, we're up near the Canadian border and it's going to be like 35 degrees that night. And so naturally what you do is you get back on the boat and you go find another cabin. And I was pretty familiar with this place, and I you know, a lot of people who go up there for the summer, they're gone by September. It's place is just it's just abandoned. It's empty. It's really beautiful, and there really are loons there, and so we go to this other cabin. I actually know who owns it, so it's kind of okay, sort of. And we get in, and we're still like picking the fleas off us at this point. It's crazy. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of fleas. It's just there's just no way around it. You just can't. We could not stay at that cabin. So we go to this other cabin, but meanwhile, this has like messed up our whole program. This place doesn't really have any dry wood. We're gonna, you know, we need to be able to make a fire in the And so finally we get the wood stove going, and the last thing that the owners had done before they left was like put some kind of black stuff on there, or some kind of surface treatment on the wood stove, and it starts smoking and like fills the entire cabin with smoke. And so we just give up on that idea, and we basically nearly froze that night. And you know, what started out as seeming like this amazingly romantic weekend was, you think, oh God, it just can't get any worse. So I about this point, middle of the night, I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna get sick. Like it's like I've eaten something bad, or I don't know what's wrong. Maybe I caught some kind of bug. And so I spent the next hour like in the rain in the 35 degree weather outside this cabin that we're not allowed to be in really. And I'm like vomiting over the edge of this cabin. I'm like, this can't possibly get any worse. But it actually turned out to be a great weekend. And we just celebrated our 10th anniversary last night.
Thanks so much, and thanks for partnering with us for this great outdoors conch. It's, I think, a little after 9, so we got to wrap it up. But thank you so much for coming. Thank you all for sharing your stories. Pretty soon, an abbreviated version, a digestible version of tonight will be posted on Grow Radio. So check it out and share it with all of your friends if you'd like them to hear your story. And please join us next month, May 5th, for Viva Mexico. So hope to see you there. Thanks, as always, to Satchels and Lightning Salvage for hosting us here. And thanks again. Have a great night.
Thanks for checking out the Conch Podcast. As always, we thank our sponsor, Satchel's Pizza, for allowing us to host the event at Lightning and Salvage every month. And we want to remind you that you can find more information about the conch on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/theconchGNV. You can also check out the past conch podcasts at www.growradio.org. And we hope to see you at upcoming conch events in Gainesville. Thanks for checking out the podcast.